There's no use in all being upset about it. Well, what's the matter with you? Just don't let it bother you. Just ignore it. You don't even take it so personally. These are all comments I grew up with, repeated time and time again, and I still hear them on occasion. I am not an all-out extreme HSP, but I certainly have tendencies in that direction. I'm also an introvert, and those two things tend to reinforce each other. I've read both books and a few more. I'm going to have to do some summarizing of part of this, and those of you who want more would like to have a conversation. The reading turned out to be longer than what I had timed it out to be. Those of you who want more would like to have a conversation about this, please feel free to chat with me about that. Carrie L.'s story, though, is typical of the ways in which a highly sensitive person experiences life. Perhaps you recognized yourself or someone you care about in her description. I want to mention a few more things about that and then talk about how we can become more inclusive, more welcoming of people in our congregation who may have HSP traits. For starters, not all HSPs are the same. Part of it's genetic, part of it's determined by environment. The trait that's there genetically can express itself quite differently depending on the environment in which a person grows up and lives as an adult. So it's the same trait expresses quite differently at times. And people are sensitive to greater or lesser extents and sensitive to different things. It is, I think, worth noting that we have pathologized what is also referred to as sensory processing sensitivity, which is a scientific term, because it's not the norm in our noisy and fast-paced world. As a culture, we tend to do that. We tend to pathologize what's not usual, what lies outside the way we expect people to behave. In short, to kind of pull together all the disparate threads that were a part of Carrie's story. Sensory processing sensitivity is a way of saying that what's moderately arousing for most people will be quite arousing for the HSP, and what's highly arousing for most people will utterly frazzle those of us who are highly sensitive. Triggers vary from person to person, too. One of mine is noise. Some people work best with background noise. It completely destroys my ability to concentrate, on the other hand. And constant noise really distresses me. As much as I enjoy what big cities have to offer, the general level of just constant background noise has me ready to leave after a couple of days. It's just I'm done at that point. I keep a set of earplugs in my purse and another in my travel kit permanently for when I need them. Overstimulation can also come from being startled, which I really don't like at all. For my 70th birthday, my daughter was planning a surprise party. Fortunately, because she needed to consult with my husband Tom about the guest list, he was able to suggest that a surprise party would not be the best way to go. Thank you. As it was, I found out about it in advance. I got the pleasure of anticipating it and was spared walking into a room full of people I didn't expect to be there. It was a good deal. We also tend to be more emotionally reactive than others, which makes us empathic and good at intuiting what vibes are out there, an ability which served me well as a hospital chaplain, especially in ER and in case conferences. But this aspect of the trait also can mean reacting or overreacting emotionally in a negative way sometimes. Hence the "you're just overreacting" phrase. A lot of us lead with our emotions. Our initial response to a situation is more emotional than rational. One HSP writes, "Those warnings at the start of the news about how some viewers may find the following scenes upsetting? Well, I'm that viewer. It's not just the news, though. I've been known to cry at everything from cancer research adverts, reasonable, to the Great British Bake Off." There's a lot here I need to just kind of corral. Many of us prefer to exercise alone and favor solo sports such as bicycling or hiking. I have a friend who thrives on the intensity and throbbing music of Zumba classes. Not me. Like most HSPs, because one of the things that really sets me off is violence in movies, and I've learned to avoid it because of the intense and long-lasting effects it has on me. So what can we do to be more welcoming, to be more inclusive of those people in our midst who have HSP tendencies? And I'm, by the way, not big on labels in general. It's a shorthand, but it doesn't really do any good to slap a label on somebody. These are people, for example, who won't necessarily say anything or even light a candle during joys and sorrows, but they hold deeply felt joys and sorrows. And I've had several people thank me for mentioning that last candle for unspoken joys and sorrows. We need to be aware of these kinds of dynamics as we provide spiritual care for everybody in the congregation. People with these kinds of traits may favor solitude, meditation, prayer, contemplation over corporate worship, and may not be the most regular church attenders for that reason. And there's room for that as well. When HSPs do attend church, we frequently prefer quiet, orderly services and calm music. We can provide variety so that all are uplifted. And as Reverend Seth pointed out a while back in talking about worship styles, people in each camp can remember that a style of worship, be it calm and collected or emotional and exuberant, a style which seems not so good to one person may be just what the person seated next to them needs. Relatedly, within their solitude, HSPs can be very, very reflective about life and appreciate a good, thoughtful sermon. These folks can be good at thinking through policy and thus contribute immensely in committees whose task it is to shape policy. On the other hand, we aren't so good with the chaos of the week leading up to the bazaar. As a denomination, as a congregation, we are a justice-seeking people, a people willing to demonstrate, to be on the picket lines, to carry the placards. Our GA includes a social justice action, and our president has more than once been arrested in connection with some of these social justice actions. While we value and applaud that and applaud those people who are willing and able to be out there in that way, I worry a little bit sometimes that this kind of involvement may be understood either tacitly or overtly as essential somehow to being a good UU. The essential aspects of the social justice work to which we're committed as individuals, as a congregation, as a denomination are important, but they're not the only ways to do social justice. It's a matter of recognizing and appreciating individual gifts. People with HSP traits, and they, by the way, account for perhaps 20% of the population, 20% distributed equally across all genders, and also shared, incidentally, apparently some research indicates by some animals, some other animals. So it's kind of interesting, but about 20% of the population, which means 20% of this congregation, possibly more than 20% of this congregation, because I think that the tendency, there's a very definite tendency among HSPs, by the way, to not look to a creed or a church for guidance, but to look inward. Makes for good UUs. So there may be more than 20% of us here. In doing, in being inclusive, in being welcoming, in speaking to the variety of needs and strengths that we present as a congregation, we strengthen ourselves as individuals, we strengthen ourselves as a congregation, and we strengthen ourselves, our ministry, to the entire community and the wider world. So whatever combination of those traits you are, may you cherish your uniqueness.